Today's shiur is Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Ayin Dalet. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. Elu Asurim, the following products that we're going to be identifying in the Mishnah are Asur B'Hanah, V'Asurim B'Kol Shehu. If one of these things fell into a mixture with something else, the halacha is that it's Asur even with the smallest amount. Even though Midaraisa, as we've learned many times, Achrab Mlahatis, and all that's really required for something to become Batel Midaraisa is just when you have Roiv versus what's falling in. Midarabanan, typically, as we also have been learning in our Shurim, what's required is Shishim. Here, the Halacha is telling us that you have to, that even a Kol Shehu is Asur. There's a very big machlokes rishonim, how to understand the case of the Mishnah. Everybody agrees that if the various foods that are identified in our Mishnah are completely dissolved, then the halacha that it's also b'kol shehu would not be applicable. The question that the rishonim debate is when our Mishnah speaks about these various items, do they have to be whole, or if they're just chopped into pieces, that they would already not become bottle. So there are many different opinions to this question. The Tosfos written in the Rashba differentiate between different things that I mentioned in the Mishnah. He says, Yayin Nesach, Avodah Zarah, Oiris Levavim are all Asur because of their relationship to Avodah Zarah. There they say it only went whole. Other Rishonim take just the opposite approach. And they say, as we've quoted the Pasuk many times, Torah Kedoshah says, V'lo yibak b'yotchem umam and acherim. The Torah is very sensitive to everything from Avodah Zarah. And therefore, they suggest that by Avodah Zarah type of situations, it has, in any circumstance, it will not be bottled. There are other opinions. Some opinions say that everything in the Mishnah is only when it's whole, and there are other opinions in the Rishonim that say it doesn't make a difference if it's whole or not. All these things, because of the severity or different reasons, the halacha is that it has to be a davar sholem. As far as the halacha lemaisa is concerned, if we look in the Ramah, the opinion of the Ramah is very clear that only a chavis of yayin nesach, a barrel of yayin nesach, then the halacha is that's when it's not bottled. And interestingly enough, even what the Ramah says, that it doesn't become bottled only when it's a whole barrel, he says that's only when it's a significant size barrel. But if it's not a significant size barrel, then even though it's a whole barrel, it won't necessarily become bottled. It will become bottled. So the Gemara begins, the Mishnah begins by identifying the various objects. The first thing the Mishnah identifies is Yayin Nesach, Avodah Zarah, Oiris Levuvim, which we spoke about at the beginning of the Masechta. What they used to do is that they used to take an animal and make a hole next to the heart to take out the heart of the animal to bring it for Avodah Zarah. That hide becomes Asur B'Hanah. And what we're learning in our Mishnah is that if that hide gets mixed up with many other hides, the halacha is that they will all be Asur. Shara Niskel, as we learned in Masechet Bava Kama, Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, the Pasuk says regarding an animal that is Chayiv Misa, the Torah says, Ubala Shah Noki, and what the Gemara says, Bala Shah Noki means that the person who animal is Chayiv Misa is Naki. He leaves without anything left. He leaves with a situation that he has absolutely no equity left because it's Asur B'Hanah. Egla Arufa, the Torah Kedoshah tells us the parasha that if a corpse is found, Loi Noida Mihuko, we don't know who murdered that corpse. So the halacha is that we do the procedure of Egla Arufa. First, we measure which city is closest to the corpse. And after the city that is closest to the corpse is identified, then the zakenim of that city have to bring an eglah, a calf, which they then decapitate, and that decapitated animal is also bahanob, egla arufa, tzipari mitzayra. The Torah Kadesh talks about somebody who was a mitzayra, and when he becomes tar, he has to bring two birds. Those two birds, one is brought as a carbon, one is let to fly away. Those two birds are asur bahanob, and if they get mingled with other birds, they're all asur. Sar nazir, the nazir, when he finishes his naziris, has to cut all his hair, and that hair is asur bahanob. And if that hair gets mixed up with other hair, the halach is that all of the hair has to be, is asur bahanob. Petach hamar, Tarag Daisha says that if a bechor, if a chamar has a bechor, the halacha is that you have to redeem it and give the set to a kohen. And if that wasn't done, the halacha is that the petach hamar, this animal, is also bahanah. So the Rishonim ask a question: why is this chamar also bahanah? The halacha is that we know that the halacha is that you could redeem this the chamor, and once you redeem the chamor with the seder that we just explained, the halacha is that the chamor becomes mutter. So why are we saying that this chamor is asur? So Tosfos Reed says that the Mishnah is talking about a case where the owner is not there, and this special halacha that the petah chamor, the firstborn chamor, can be redeemed with a seh is only if the owner is there. No one else has that privilege. Another pshat is that the halacha is that there are two options what to do with a petach hamor. One option, as we just said, is to be redeeming on a seh. The other option is to decapitate it. And the halacha is that a hamor that's decapitated, the halacha is also bahanor. And that's what, as the pasuk says, v'mlo sifta v'raftoi. And the Mishnah speaking about that petach hamor that we decapitated, that the halacha is you can't have any enough from it. Bas b'chalav, it's a piece of meat and milk that got cooked together. And as we've learned many times, the halacha of bas b'chalav is osur bahanah. And therefore, bas b'chalav fell into something else. The halacha is that it's asur. Sar mishtalech on Yom Kippur, we bring two seirim. One is brought to sar l'Hashem. It's brought as a carbon. The other one is the sar l'azazel, which is thrown down the mountain. And the halacha is that that too, if it got mingled, if that sar l'azazel got mingled with other animals, it's asur b'hanah. Chulin shenishchtu b'azara. If somebody brought an animal which is chulin, and they brought it as a carbon, and the Azara, the Pasuk says, to teach us, the Gemara teaches us, in Masech the Kedushin, Chulin should only be brought in a place that's not near the Meis HaMikdash, it may not be brought into the Azara, and if somebody did bring Chulin into the Azara, it's also Banob. And the halacha by all these cases is that hare eila surin, that this mixture is asur, and not only is it asur, for asur bakalshu, it's asur even, it's even in the slightest amount. The crazy place he asks a question, one of the items that was identified in the Mishnah that never becomes bottle is bas b'chalav. But as we've been discussing in our shurim, we will continue discussing, that if we have a mixture of b'chalav, why we could taste it. So why, ask the placey, do we just say that it's usur? Ask the placey, why don't we just have somebody taste this mixture, this piece of meat? If it has a milky taste, it's usur, and not. So he says that what happened here was, there was a piece of meat that absorbed milk, and then that piece of milk becomes asur because of the concept of chaticha nas nevel. That whole piece of meat becomes asur, and now that piece of meat was cooked with many other pieces of meat. So when we look at what has to become bottle, explains the placey, we don't just look well, it has to, if it tastes like milk, I have a problem. If it doesn't taste like milk, I don't have a problem. It's much more fundamental, says the Plessy. Since that whole first piece of meat that did have a taste of milk, we say chaticha nasas nevela, so now the whole thing is usur, and once the whole meat is usur, and it tastes like meat, so when it's going to be mixed with other meat, there's no way for kfela to be able to identify it. Says the Gemara, Tanik Maikachoshev. Says the Gemara, what is the basis of what the Mishnah used to determine what is bottle or what is not bottle? If the point is to say that anything that's a Dovah Shebe Minyan, and the Halach is that a Dovah Shebe Minyan is Choshev, and because a Dovah Shebe Minyan is Choshev, it never becomes bottle. And actually, the Gemara Masech Debei, Daf Gimel Mabeis, has a Machloikis, how do we identify what is a Dovah Shebe Minyan? Machloikis Rabbi Yochanan Shlokish. The opinion of Rabbi Yochanan is it's only sold by number. If it's sold sometimes not by specific number, it's not considered a Dovah Shebe Minyan. Reish Lakish disagrees, and he says that even if something is sometimes not sold by Minyan, but it's something that's typically sold by Minyan, it's considered in the category of a Dovah Shebe Minyan. So again, ask the Gemara Tana Mai Kachoshev, what is the point of what the Tana HaMishnah is discussing? If the point is that to teach us that all these things are things that are sold individually and that's why they don't become bottle, so ask the Gemara, listen, Nami Chatichas Nevela, so why does an HaMishnah also include a piece of Nevela? And the piece of Nevela is sold by piece. So here the Rishonim ask a question. We just quoted the Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Shlokish. How do we identify what is a Dovah Shebe Minyan? Is it something always sold by number, or is it something usually sold by number? So according to Rish Lakish, as long as it's usually sold by number, that's enough to make it a Dovah Shebe Minyan. And certainly Chatichas Nevela, pieces of meat, are usually sold by the piece. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, that says that it always has to be sold by piece. So sometimes somebody's going to be buying by wholesale a large order of meat, and not every piece, he'll buy it by weight, he won't buy it by piece. So why are chatichas nevela considered Dovah Shebe Minyan? So the Rishonim answer that when we're going to learn Masechta Chulin, Mitzvah Shem, there's another concept of something that doesn't become bottle. And that's a chaticha ruy l'skabit, something that is a significant piece of meat. And therefore they say that the halachi is that chatichas nevela, even if it won't be a perfect Dovah Shebe Minyan, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, it certainly is in the category of a chaticha ruy l'skabit. And once it's in the category of a chaticha ruy l'skabit, it's not bottle. So why wasn't it mentioned in our Mishnah? If, on the other hand, says the Gemara, V'yisor ha'noh k'choshev, if the point of the Mishnah is to teach us anything that's a issa ha'noh, so ask the Gemara, then listening nami, chametz v'pesach, because the halacha is that chametz v'pesach is osu b'ha'noh, and since it's osu b'ha'noh, it doesn't become bottle, if that's the point, and why is it not mentioned in our Mishnah? So Shainim ask a question that chametz is a Dovah Shesh Lematurim, because chametz before Pesach, on Pesach is Asur, and this is a Dovah Shesh Lematurim. And a Dovah Shesh Lematurim is never bottle. And maybe that's why the Mishnah didn't bring it, because the Mishnah is not speaking about something which is a Dovah Shesh Lematurim. So the Ran explains that perhaps our Gemara is following the opinion that chametz after Pesach is osu b'ha'noh. In other words, we know that midrabbanan certainly chametz shavu l'va Pesach is osu, but there's a machlokes, what's the din midaraisa? So the Ran suggests that our Mishnah is following the opinion that chametz after Pesach is osu b'ha'noh, so it's not a dovish yesh l'matirin. The Gra has a different explanation why chametz and Pesach is not considered dovish yesh l'matirin. He explains that even if we'll say that midaraisa chametz is dovish yesh l'matirim, it's mutter after Pesach, he says, but next year Pesach, it'll be osur again. And since next year Pesach it's going to be osur again. So that's why it's not called a davar sheyesh lo matirim. So here we're learning that when we speak about chametz bePesach, it doesn't become bottle. The only question that we have is why wasn't it mentioned in the Mishnah? But it's clear that the halacha is the chametz bePesach is not bottle. So the question that many poskim say, that many poskim ask, is that that if it's not bottle, why would we be allowed to drink water on Pesach? The concern is that maybe somebody threw a piece of chametz into the body of water from where the water that we drink is coming. And we're saying that chametz on Pesach is not bottle, even in the slightest amount. Why are we not concerned? And because of this, there are those that suggested that they used to try to collect enough water. They used to try to connect enough water to have that they shouldn't have to collect water on Pesach. Others say that it's only water, it would only be chametz that belongs to a Jew that's not bottle on Pesach. But if the chametz that's thrown into the water belongs to a Nachri, we wouldn't have this problem. It's not a great answer because unfortunately we know there are Jews who are not makbid a chametz with Pesach. So those that suggest a very interesting point. He says that even if we'll say that something that's mentioned in our Mishnah is never, but the various things that are mentioned in the Mishnah are never bottled, they want to suggest that would not be applicable to something that is so minuscule. A piece of chametz that's thrown into a huge river is obviously extremely insignificant. And even if we say that a davish that the chametz of Pesach is not bottle, never will we say it when it's so insignificant. Another pshat that I saw some paiskim suggest is that all the water that we get from when opening the sink or whenever is filtered. And since all the water is filtered, if there were any chametz, it would have been completely filtered out, and we need not be concerned. It says the Gemara, the Tana of our Mishnah says only things that fit two categories. Dovish Reminion, it's something that's counted, significant, and Isurei Noah. Anything that doesn't have both of those conditions met don't are as a mention on our Mishnah. So Chometz is not necessarily Dovish Reminion, and Chetichas Nevela are not Osir Bahanoah. And that's why our Mishnah didn't mention them. So ask the Gemara, but still, V'lisni agoizi perach v'rimen bedan. Agoizi perach, some explain, are walnuts that came from a place that is called perach. Others explain that agoizi perach means something that crumbles, that the peel of these crumble. So they fit all or climb. They fit all of the conditions. They're choshev and they're asa banah. The davash b'minyan v'asurei nahu. Answers the Gemara, Tana lehasam. The Mishnah, in Masechta Arla Perek Beis, Mishnah Zayin, when it mentions these things that are a goyze perech and remind button that are never bottle. Because the Mishnah says, if there's a problem with royal Arla, if there's an Arla problem with these foods, they're treated like Arla. V'aroi Kalaikarim, and if they're considered Klaim, Kalaikarim. So that's why there was no need for it to be mentioned in our Mishnah, because it was already Mishnah mentioned there as well. So ask the Rishonim that our Mishnah began with speaking about Yayin Nesach. And if we look at the Mishnah Masechta Arla, the Mishnah there mentions Yayin Nesach. So we're saying that anything that was mentioned already in that Mishnah is not going to be mentioned in our Mishnah. So then why is Yayin Nesach mentioned in our Mishnah? So Taisus answers that, indeed, there's no reason to repeat. But at the end of the day, Taisus says, we're learning Masechta Avodah Zarah. So, and Yayin Nesach has been a very important part of our Masechta. So even though Yayin Nesach is not something that we haven't learned already, it still is mentioned in our Masechta. It belongs here because it's something that is the subject of our Masechta. Ask the Gemara for listening to Kikrish Balabais. Why doesn't the Mishnah mention loaves of the Balabais? that are significant regarding chametz b'Pesach, so they have all the qualifications. They're a davar chashiv, it's a loaf, and it's asur b'hanah. Says the Ramban Shamet Leih D'Omer, who is the Tana that says that kikra shebal habayis are considered davar chashiv? Says the Gemara to Rabbi Akiva. Hatana lehasam, and the opinion of Rabbi Akiva was already mentioned over there in the Masechta Arla, because the Tana Kama, the Chachamim in that Mishnah mentioned six items that are considered choshev and not bottle, and Rekiva Maisev has a kikr shebal bayis. So Rekiva already mentioned it, so there's no reason to say it again. Hare Elu, so we learned in the Mishnah that the various things that were identified in Mishnah, Asurim v'Oisrim b'kol shehu, L'muti mai, says the Gemara, what does the Mishnah want to say by saying this halacha over again? To teach us L'muti, as we've been learning, the Davish of a minion, for lava surah and noah. If you have something which is a davish b'minyan, but it's not osma noah, inami you'll have something which is osma noah, or davish b'minyan, it's osma noah, it's not davish b'minyan, that it's not, that the halachas that are mentioned in our Mishnah are not relevant there. Here we're learning the halachas of bittul. And there's an interesting question that the Tor brings up. Because we just discussed in our shir the concept of davish esh lemitirin, something that will ultimately become mutter, never becomes bottle. So the Torah discusses a situation where you have grapes in a bottle of wine. And the halacha is, we learned in Masechta Shabbos, that any juice that comes out of a grape on Shabbos, is you may not consume on Shabbos. So the question is, if you have grapes in your grape juice, that the juice came out on Shabbos, you shouldn't be allowed to drink that juice. It's a davar shesh lematirin. You could drink it after Shabbos. So the Torah says a chiddush. When do we say that there's no bittul by davar shesh lematirin? Is when it was identifiable, it was independently identifiable, and then it got mixed up, as the examples that we've been discussing in our shir. But something that was never independently identifiable, that's not called a davar shesh lematirin. So the wine that fell out, that came out of these grapes, right into the juice, so was never independently identifiable, so doesn't get ever the status of a davar shesh lematirin. Yayin nesach. So now the Mishnah teaches us the important status of Yayin Nesach. So says the Mishnah, Yayin Nesach shenafel abar. If Yayin Nesach fell into a pit that had kosher wine, kulay osur b'hanah. Because as we've been learning, Yayin Nesach is osur, if Yayin Nesach, when it's min b'minoy, is osur b'kol shu. Shimon Gamliel's opinion is, yimach kulay levet chavim, you may sell all the wine in that pit to a nachri, except the value of the Yayin Nesach. And there's different opinions in the Rishonim. What does Rav Shimon Gamliel mean to say? The Rambam says that we take this entire mixture, sell it to a Nochri for full value, and the money corresponding to the Nesach contact of this mixture is destroyed, as we often say, is thrown to the Yam HaMelech. The Rashba says that it's not necessary to sell the mixture for its full value and then throw away a portion of the proceeds. He says you could sell the entire mixture to a Nochri for a reduced price, charging him only for the non-Nesach content. For example, if the Nesach wine comprises 1% of the mixture, then it should be sold at a 1% discount. The Ran says the man may sell the Nesach wine to a Nochri at a reduced price only if he informs the buyer that he's only charging him for the permitted portion of the mixture. If he doesn't say that to the buyer, so then he's really benefiting from the Yayin Nesach because he didn't tell the Nochri that this is partially Yayin Nesach and I wasn't allowed to charge you for it. The Rashba says that as long as the seller intends to charge for only the permitted portion of this mixture, he's allowed to benefit from the proceeds, and he doesn't have to tell the buyer. The place, he says, that selling the mixture to a Nochri for a reduced price is only permitted if the Nochri doesn't know the true value of the wine and therefore he believes he's paying the full value. But says the Plessy that if the Nachri is aware of the real market value and he realizes that he's receiving the wine at a discount, so he may feel grateful that he got a bargain and feel obligated to return the favor to the Jew. And since the Jew is now at a benefit from the Nesach wine, he has to tell the buyer in such a situation that the reason you got the discount is because there's a portion of Nesach wine here. The Baruch Tam disagrees with the Plessy. And he says as long as the Jew does not reduce the price with the buyer's benefit in mind, he doesn't have to be concerned about maybe the Nachri will feel obligated to do him a favor. He quotes the Tosfos Rosh, who speaks about a situation that when a Nachri shows appreciation in return for a favor that he received unintentionally, it is considered Hanoah La'od Abba La'odam Bal Karchai, which the Gemara says a Jew is allowed to have such benefit. Says the Gemara Amar Rav, as we just discussed, the Pesach of Shimon Gamliel, and the Gemara says, Amar Rav, Alok Rav Shimon Gamliel, Alok Tzalek Rav Shimon Gamliel. But, he says, it's only in a case of Chavis B'Chavis, if there was a mixture of barrels, of Loi Yayin B'Yayin, if non-kosher wine got mixed up with kosher wine, then the Alok is, everything is Osir. Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel says that the halacha of Shimon ben Gamliel is applicable even in a case of yayin b'yayin, even if it was kosher and non-kosher wine got mixed up. V'kein amar rabba b'bachana amar b'yochran, afilu yayin b'yayin, this halacha applies yayin b'yayin. V'kein amar rabba Shmuel ben Nosson amar rabba Chanina, afilu yayin b'yayin. V'kein amar rabba Nachman amar rabba Avuah, afilu yayin b'yayin. Amar rabba Nachman, halach l'maisa, so Rabba Nachman teaches us what is the halacha Lemaisa, as many Rishonim teach us, Rashi seems to say this, when something is said as halacha lemaisa, it was practice. That's the most significant halacha. Yayin nesach, when we have a mixture of yayin nesach, yayin b'yayin, if it's wine that got mixed up, osur. But when it's chavis b'chavis, when it's barrels of wine that got mixed up, mutter, stam yayin, if we don't know if it's yayin nesach altogether, then the halach is that since we don't know that it's if it's yayin nesach in the first place, says the Gemara, afil yayin b'yayin mutter, then even if it's wine that got mixed up, we have room for leniency. And the Shach says something here that we've already learned this concept many times. The Shach says, since the Oivdei Avodah Zarah, since the Nachrim b'zman hazeh are not really Oivdei Avodah Zarah, since they're not really Oivdei Avodah Zarah, so the issue of Yayin Nesach is not related to Avodah Zarah. It's primarily related to Chasnas, that they shouldn't be intermarriage with them. And therefore he says that even Yayin B'Yayin, even if we know for sure that non-kosher wine got mingled with kosher wine, the halacha is we could follow the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. Says the Mishnah Gashel Evan, the place where they used to crush the grapes that's made out of stone, Shazav Sa'ev the Kachavim, that the Nachri put tar on it. And they used to mix wine onto the tar. And the reason was because the tar had a bad smell. And this was the way to mask that bad smell. So what do you do if you want to use that crushing area? Menagva, you dry it. We'll speak about this more in the Gemara, Fitahira, and that place is considered tar. Shalates, if the crushing area is made out of wood, Rebbe Yom Yenagiv, the halach is the same, according to Rebbe, if it was made out of stone. The Chama Imrim, Chama says that since it's made out of wood, they put on a thicker layer of zephes, and eitz, wood, is more absorbent. Therefore, in such a case, he says, Yikloif, the halach is, you have to peel off the outer layer of the zephyrs. Yiklov zephyrs, you have to take off the zephyrs and then do niguf. Shalcheres, if the crushing area is made out of cheres, abi shikol of the zephyrs, even if you took off the zephyrs, daloch is hareza surah, the daloch is that it's also. The Rishonim point out, we've discussed this, that cheres, we know, is virtually impassable to kasher, but sometimes what they allow, and they suggest that this is one of those cases, we do merely ve'iri gimel yomim, that you fill it up with water and change the water every 3 days, then there may be room for leniency. Amar Rava, dafka zafsa. The halach of our mishnah is only when this tar with the wine was applied to the gas. Ava darkba, if a nakri crushed grapes there, loy, there's no need for nigov, rinsing it is adequate. Ask the Gemara Pshita, isn't that clear? The Mishnah is very clear. Zofsa Tanan, that we're speaking about a case of Zofsa. Answers the Gemara Malatema, Huadin Afilu Dorakba. That the same halacha will apply if you use it for squeezing grapes. So if that's the case, Vaidatani Zofsa, why did the Mishnah speak about the case of Zofsa? Because that's usually where the wine is put in. Kamashmon, that the halacha is that only by Zofsa does this apply, not by Darkba. But says the Gemara Ikadami, a different version of this discussion, Amarava Dafka Zofsa, only by Zofsa are the various steps that were mentioned in the Mishnah applicable. Ava Darkba, if it was a place where grapes were crushed, Lysagalav and Nigov, everybody would agree that Nigov would not be sufficient. Because what happens when you have Nigov, you have the wine gets very absorbed into the tar. Others explain what happens is that the crushing of the grapes cause cracks in the gas. And so that's why there's going to be more absorption into that gas. Says Amar Pshita, as obviously that by Darcha, what's mentioned in the Mishnah is inadequate. The Mishnah said, Zofsa Tanan. Isn't the Mishnah mean to say that these approaches are only acceptable by Zofsa, nowhere else? Answers the Gemara Ma'atayim, Huadina Fila Darkba. The Mishnah means to treat Dorach and Zofsa the same way. Vaditan Zofsa Urch the Milsik Tani. It's because, as we said, that's usually what's done. Kamashman, that's why the Gemara teaches us, Dafka Zofsa. Only in a case of Zofsa is this the halacha? Avadarachba, if it was used to crush grapes there, the halacha will be loisagli, but nigov will not be adequate. Says the Gemara, Kihodu asl kamed Rav Chiya. There was an episode where somebody came to Rav Chiya where a nakri had put the tar on his gas. Amalei havli gavrad darach lemestroi. And he said, that person said to Rav Chiya, Give me a person who will know how to kasher this gas. Amalei l'Rav, so Chia said to Rav, Zal b'hadei, go along and take care of it. But he also told him, make sure to do it right. Don't cause a situation that people in the Beis Medrash will be upset that it wasn't done properly. Azul chazi de kashiyat fei. So Rav saw that the gas was very smooth. Amar, so he said, since it's very smooth, it certainly did not absorb a lot. It's certainly not a place where they crushed grapes. And Nigov will be satisfactory. Says the Gemara B'tagi, the cause of Asa, as Rav was going there, he saw Chaza Pilat Metusei, he saw cracks for Chaza Dav Mola Chamra, and he saw that they were full of wine. He said that Nigov is not going to do the trick here. Here, what we need to do is Kiluf. And now Rav said, I understand what my uncle, Rav Chiya, was Rav's uncle. Because not only was he a nephew of Rav Chiya, but he was actually the son of the brother and sister of Rav Chiya. Ivy, the father of Rav, was Rav Chiya's brother. They had the same father. And the mother of Rav was the sister of Rav Chiya. They had the same mother. And now Rav says, I could appreciate, understand what my uncle, Rav Chiya, who he called Chavivi, said, be most careful to do this right. Chazi, don't cause any embarrassment that you shouldn't do it the right way. And that the people in the Smerish will be upset. Says my Tana Rabbanan, Hagas, the place where they squeeze grapes, v'machatz, the part, the keli that they take wine out from the pit to the chavis, v'mishbach, the funnel through which they pour wine, shalav de chavim, that are made, that belong to the chavim, made out of cheres, and they have no pitch on them. Rabbi Matter Benigov, Rabbi says that all you need to do with these kalim is just to nigov, the cham oisrim. Umay the Rabbi Bekan kanim shalav de chavim, that the pitchers of wine of the nokrim, she asurim, that they are, even though they weren't lined with tar, they're asurim. Ask the Gemara, Ma Hefesh Bein Zeh B'Zeh, why are Kankanim Osur and other Kalim Amutur? Says the Gemara, Zeh Machnis V'Kiyim, something that's used to store the wine for a long time, it's therefore with more Machmer. V'am E Machnis V'Kiyim, something which is not used to store the wine for a long time, we could be lenient. We learned furthermore, Shel Eitz V'Shel Even, if the gas, a machatz, a mishpach, are made of stone or wood, Yinagev, we do nigov. It says the Mishnah further, Imhayim zofim, but if they had pitch on them, asurim, you have to take off that layer. Ask the Gemara, but then we learn in our Mishnah, Vatanan, gas shall even shazof soivikachavim, if you have this, the place that, the crushing area, that is made out of stone, that has pitch on it, the loch is, menagvavi tairah, says the Gemara, that it's adequate just to do Nigov, and says the Gemara, even though it's a gas, but says the Gemara, it wasn't actually used. Braisa is a place, the Darakba, that was actually used. And since it was actually used, Kilof is required. Says the Gemara, Amamar, we just learned in the Braisa, Hagas v'machat v'mashpach shloiv t'chavim, Rabbi Mata b'Nigov, Rabbi says you need Nigov, v'cham ma'oisrim. Ask them about Antanat Shal Cheretz Abi Shekolof as a Zefetz Hareza Asura, because Cheretz is very absorbent, and that's not like Rebbe just said, that if it's made out of Cheretz, Nigov is sufficient. And it says the Gemara, Amar Rava, we're going to have to say, Sefer the Masnitzin, the Sefer Mishnah is following the opinion of the Rabbanim. Dorish Rava, says the Gemara, Rava said, Nava Artecha, the this gas of eitz or even that they used to crush grapes in there, it's everybody will agree that you need kiluf, and if kiluf taking off this entire layer of zephis is very complicated and time consuming, so the halacha is you have to do hagolah. And Tosfos says there's a kagolim, which we're going to be speaking about in our shiurim, is boiling out whatever absorption we have. And the Tosfos quoting Rabbeinu Tam says that to do hagolah, it's enough to do iri kli rishon. It's satisfactory if you could just pour on it boiling water. And therefore, says Tosfos, quoting to Ben Tam, that must be the case that we're speaking about here. That's the only way that this could be kashered. And Tosfos, quoting Ben Tam, says, from here we see that we could kasher with agola through iri kli rishon. We'll discuss in coming shurim if that is actually accurate. Says the Gemara, Rava kevim shad gufal avranya. When Rava would send with a nochri empty pitchers to a place called Harfanya, he would put them into a bag and sachle for mayu, and he would turn over the barrels for chosmaya betzrayu, and then he would tie up the covering of the tie it to make sure that it wasn't tampered, because otherwise they would have to be kashered. Ksavar, because what was the basis why Rava said this? He said because kodav shemachnis l'kiyim, any type of vessel which is used for storage, a filul shah, even if it's just used for short amount of time, Gozbe Rabbanan, Chazal said you have to kasher, and as we're learning and we will continue learning, the kashering is not easy, and therefore to avoid kashering, What you do is you put it in a bag and you tie the bag that could you could see if it was tampered, and therefore it will be able not to require kashering.